Interactive reading means that you get to take part. So there will be bits that I say, and then it will say all. And that's your bit, okay? And I will try to make sure that you set off and say your bit. So the reading is the reading about the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They are all drunk." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And we all say, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Elaine. I chose to preach today. I didn't even ask for a volunteer because I wanted to preach on this day. I wanted to preach because I believe that sometimes we can get so used to having the Spirit of God talked about and so on that we can begin to take him for granted. I started thinking of my own personal walk with God. I looked at my names and remembered that my middle name is Samson. And Samson was known for saying, "It's business as usual," wasn't he? "It's business as usual. All I need to do is go out, shake myself, and of course everything will go as it's supposed to be." And when the Spirit of God left him, did he know? He didn't. He didn't know that the Spirit of God had left him. The Spirit of God had left him, and he did not know. It is possible, my brothers and sisters, for us to get used to walking in the things of God, that if he was absent, business would go on as usual. And that is not an original from me. David Watson is the one who said this. "For many churches, if the Spirit of God left, nobody would notice that he had left, because we would all be business as usual." So let's begin personally. When I think about the Holy Spirit, I feel. Notice I didn't say I think. I use the word I feel because in a way this is a day of feelings. And all of us are not all comfortable with feelings. But nevertheless, they are part of our lives. Can't get away from it. How do you feel when you hear the word Holy Spirit? There may be other feelings that you feel apart from the ones that are listed or, you know, or on that screen. Speaking with somebody this week, and I said, when you hear the Holy Spirit, when you hear the word Holy Spirit, how do you feel? Looked at me, smiled and said, I feel hungry. I just want more. More and more. More and more. Because you can never have enough of God in you. But how do you plan for something you have no experience of? In a way, looking at that reading that we've just listened to, the disciples were not quite sure what to expect on the day of Pentecost. This was unprecedented. They couldn't turn around and say, you know, when the Spirit comes, this is exactly what is going to happen, even though they had read Joel. Even though they were expecting a lot, they weren't quite sure. But what should they have expected? What did they know about the Holy Spirit? They knew a lot. Moses himself talked about the Holy Spirit. In fact, he talks about the Holy Spirit when he complains to God the first time and God says, I'll give you other people to help you lead the people of God. Therefore, choose 72 people whom I am going to take my Spirit on you and put it on them so that they may lead with you. And on that day, there were two of the 72 who did not go to the place of meeting. They remained in the camp. And when the Spirit of God came, the Spirit also fell on them. And there was pandemonium in the camp because they weren't expecting the Spirit to fall on them. They were expecting the leaders to have the Holy Spirit and for them to just remain business as usual. So when the Spirit came, there were people who were worried enough to actually say, hey, go and tell Moses there's something that shouldn't be happening. And even Joshua, that great leader of the people who was going to succeed Moses, is the one who turned to Moses and said, my Lord Moses, stop them. Don't let them go on prophesying. Don't let them create havoc among the people of God. Listen to what Moses said. Moses responded by saying this, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Can you hear the cry of the prophets? It isn't a question of, well, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord fills me and the rest of you can just relax. Oh, I wish that all God's people were filled with the Holy Spirit. In a way, Moses looked forward to the day of Pentecost. Are you excited? You don't sound excited. I know you're excited, but you don't sound excited. Some of you look like you've just been hit on the head with something really, really serious and you're not quite sure what is going on. Relax. Today, I believe that the Spirit of God wants to touch each one of us in an unprecedented way because He is God. And he doesn't always do things the same way he's done them in the past. My Lord Moses stopped them. No, Moses says, I wish that all God's people were prophets and that the Spirit of God rested on them. How about Isaiah, that great prophet, who is actually, as it were, if you were to create a pyramid of prophets, Isaiah would have to be on top, wouldn't he? Because he talks more about the coming of Christ than anyone else. And he is the one who said these words that were actually used by Jesus. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And it goes on. Not only that, you've got Joel. And Joel is the one who says, in the last days. And in a way, I'm not surprised that when the time came, Peter quoted Joel because he actually knew that Joel got it right. When the Spirit comes. And what about Jesus? On the night he was betrayed, they are all worried. And what does he do? He teaches them about the Holy Spirit. He tells them, I am going to be taken away from you, but you're not going to be left like orphans. I will come. The Spirit will come. He will lead you into all truth. He is the one who will accompany you. He is your advocate. He is the one who will accompany you, counselor, comforter, a prisoner's friend as well. And not only that, he's been among you. And by the way, the disciples had been touched by the Spirit before Jesus left. Why do I say that? Because Jesus gave them authority to go and heal the sick, cast out demons, and so on. That is the work of the Spirit. They participated in that, but only for a while, because the greater anointing was coming. And they were not merely going to say, where is Jesus? Is he near enough to help us? They were going to know the infilling with the Holy Spirit. But my sisters and brothers, we can have the Spirit around us and yet not experience him for ourselves. And this day is really about experience. It is not merely about knowledge. It's about experience. What do you know about the Holy Spirit? What have you experienced? What is your experience of the Holy Spirit? Is he still at work today, or did he finish his work 2,000 years ago and then went to heaven? Because if he did, we are in trouble. We really are. We need him more than ever, and he's the one who makes us relevant today. So relax. Here is a testimony, not from this young man behind me, but Barbara and Sheila are going to interview one, or rather, Barbara is going to be interviewed by Sheila, and then I'll continue.
Yes, Barbara's going to do most of the talking, not me. Now, I want to introduce you to Barbara Jenner. Some of you may not know Barbara because she's such a quiet person. She's just so full of the Holy Spirit, and she ministers all week in so many different ways, and she just gets on with it, don't you? You just get on with it, and she's just lovely. So we thought it would be good if we just asked her to share a little bit with us this morning, because she's got a wonderful story of how the Holy Spirit touched her. So Barbara, first of all, tell us how you became a Christian and that little bit. And that will set the scene. Come a bit nearer and then you'll catch the microphone. Don't be frightened of it.
No. I've been a Christian for 30 years, and that was when I asked the Lord into my life. And it started that my first encounter with the Holy Spirit was when the Holy Spirit fell upon the church, the airport Vineyard Church in Toronto. And I was up in Durham at the time, living in Durham, and some members from a church in Sunderland went out to Toronto to see what was happening. And when they came back to their church in Sunderland, the same thing happened. The Holy Spirit fell upon their church. And I began then to go over and go to these meetings. And the first meeting I went to was a wonderful time of worship. The Holy Spirit was welcomed and invited into the meeting. And somebody came and prayed with me. And as I held out my hands, I found they were shaking. My eyes were blinking. I just felt the Holy Spirit just come upon me powerfully. And I just felt the love of God just really flowing over me. And that caused me to fall on the floor. And I just experienced waves of love and joy and peace as I just sort of basked really in this love for God. And that was the first experience I had. Yeah, that was that.
Just amazing, isn't it? God is so good, and he meets us all in so many different ways. This is the wonderful thing, and it's so wonderful to hear. And you'd been a Christian quite a lot of years before that happened, hadn't you?
Yes, 30 years.
30 years, you see. She'd been...
Sorry, no, I've been a Christian 30 years. This was in the 19... That was in the 80s when I became a Christian.
Yeah.
And this was in the 90s.
And this was in the 90s.
Maybe 10 years later.
Yeah, so you knew Jesus,
yes,
but you weren't aware of this wonderful power.
Really experienced the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And has it made a difference?
Oh, yes.
Well, tell us what.
I've found that God's filled me with a greater love and compassion for other people, and especially the vulnerable and the elderly, even more elderly than me, which has brought me to our Tuesday fellowship group with Trish and Joy and Margaret and Mike, and Kirsty's there as well. So that's a great joy and a blessing. And also going to Belmont House with Lorna, we do pastoral prayer ministry. And God has just used us in that place. It's just so wonderful. And I just feel that's part of his plan, and that he has been equipping me to be the person that he's called me to be. And I can see that coming out now in various ministries. So it's a great blessing.
That's wonderful, isn't it? And Barbara comes onto the streets on a Saturday as well. I've had the privilege of working with her. And God gives you that boldness, doesn't he, that you haven't got in yourself so often.
Yes.
Well, we wish you God's blessing.
Thank you.
May you know more and more of that power and carry
right.
on. Bless
more,
you.
Yes.
Thank you, Barbara.
You. Thank you.
It is possible for you to come to know Jesus. It is possible for you to live a Christian faith, not knowing all God has in store for you. So here is my own story. In 1970, on the 8th of November, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I came to know Jesus as my personal Savior. And it was a day to remember. It was a day when I believe God touched me by His Spirit, but I did not know. All I knew was that there was incredible joy that was released in me. The following day, I got up, found myself reading the scriptures, and it was incredible. For the first time, the scriptures just seemed alive. I can still quote some of the scriptures that I read that first morning. I was led to read, Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his children to the glory of his name. And I tell you what, that was really quite something. 6 months later, I was still going, but I was beginning to lag. You see, I did not know anything about the Holy Spirit. I thought, well, when you become a Christian, you'll receive Jesus in your life, and from that point on, everything will always be good. But it wasn't. I was beginning to feel, oh, hold on, there is something that is not quite right. Like Barbara, 6 months later, there was a conference organized next door to the school where I went, and they were talking about the Holy Spirit. And I remember going to it thinking, well, I better go and find out what's going on. I walked into that hall and something made me feel, wow, Francis, you are home. So at the end of the service, of course, there was praying for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was the first one to jump up and say, look, please pray for me. And I remember the guy who prayed for me. He was an American. And of course, as usual, they are very brash. He just came to me and he told me, Francis, I'm going to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And after I have finished praying for you, I'll pray in tongues. Join me when you are ready. And do you know, I never questioned. He prayed. He started praying in tongues. And I found myself so full of God's love. I just wanted to praise him. And out came a tongue I had not learned before. And I was so excited. And all this time I had one person who was my mentor. And he used to pray with me regularly. So I went to him and said, Frank, what do you know about the Holy Spirit? He said, oh, what do you want to know? I said, well, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? He said, oh, yes. I said, why didn't you ever tell me? Just listen to this. He said to me, because I did not think you were ready. And I'm sorry to say, from 1971 to 18 years, I led many people to faith, never prayed for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, what Frank said to me, even though somehow I wasn't quite sure, somehow it was written in my spirit. And I never prayed for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In 1990, there was another encounter that changed my whole thinking. And the encounter was this. I was just preparing to go and pray with some friends of ours because we were thinking of doing Saints Alive. And in Saints Alive, being filled with the Holy Spirit was being mentioned. So I thought, well, I know I am filled with the Holy Spirit. That was not the problem. I knew I was filled with the Holy Spirit. But all I wanted to do was just go and sit in my office and pray for a while so that as we prayed later, the Spirit would touch us together. And it was at that point. It was around 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I remember well, because I was just about getting ready to go home. My office was not in the house. And as I prayed, it was as if God said this, Francis, how long are you going to sell my people short of all that I have for them? And I immediately thought, really? Have I sold them short? Surely not. And immediately, it was almost like all the people that had come to faith through my ministry, their faces were there before me. And for each one of them, the Lord said, you did not complete what you started. You never told them about the resources that I have for them. That day, I confessed to God. I asked for his forgiveness, and I promised that I would always invite the Holy Spirit whenever I preached, whenever I prayed, whenever anyone came to faith. I would always tell them about all God has in store for them. And so today, it's not going to be any different. Today, I'm praying that, you know, after we have worshipped for a very, very long time, because I am just about to finish, and I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm just about to finish. We are going to spend a time just worshipping before God. I want you to seek the anointing with the Holy Spirit for yourself. And then when the children come back, you can have the opportunity to come up to the rail and let the children and a few adults pray with you, and they will start with me to be filled with the Holy Spirit for yourself. But now, let's just reflect for a while. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? There are times when he moves in a sovereign way, and it's very, very different. Can anyone be a Christian without the Holy Spirit? No. No one can. No one can. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Must everyone be emotional when they are filled with the Holy Spirit? No. May you be emotional when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, you have permission. But whatever you do, don't go telling everybody else you've got to be exactly like me, because that is not the way it works. He is sovereign. He is so creative that he does things differently. Just look around you and see the people around you. They are so different. And that is the work of God. May God, who creates us differently, also fill us anew in a way that makes meaning to us. But let me say this, whatever happens after this, the Holy Spirit is not given so that you can say, oh, how lovely, that was great, I'll just go home and have a little sleep because that is all I need. The Holy Spirit is given so that the work of Jesus may be completed on earth. And is that work finished? Is it finished? Is it? It is not finished. There is still more to be done. And you and I are being commissioned again. Oh, that we would indeed say with Isaiah this day, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. And I want to say this, being filled with the Holy Spirit should not be a one-off thing. It should be a continuous thing. Go and read my favorite book, Ephesians chapter 5. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. May this day mark another step on our journey, not a climax, but another high on our journey, because he has got more. Caroline, lead us in worship, and let us, as we worship, allow the Spirit of God to fall afresh on each one of us. And if you find yourself, if you find your emotions taking hold of you, don't worry about it. You are among friends. There is no judgment here, but there is freedom that the Spirit brings. There is freedom for all. Thank you. Holy Spirit, come and fill us anew as we worship. We offer ourselves to you. Come and minister to us by the power of your presence for the glory of your name, for Jesus' sake.